Father, thank you for the reading and the preaching of your word this morning. We receive it, O God, as life into our lives. Father, I pray that it would be everything that you intend for it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this series of messages, we're talking about spiritual disciplines. And I've read you this definition in both previous parts of this sermon series, but I'm going to read it again for you. And this time I want you to read it here with me. When we are defining spiritual disciplines, what are we talking about? Can you read this with me? Spiritual disciplines are the spiritual practices that place us before God so that he can transform us, moving us from superficial knowledge of God to deep intimacy with him. Amen. It's these daily spiritual practices that place us before God. It's transforming us and taking us deeper. I don't know if you followed the NBA Finals at all. Did anybody watch the NBA Finals or just kind of knew it was happening at least? So if you didn't know, the Boston Celtics got all the way to the finals against the Golden State Warriors. And the star player, the MVP on the Golden State Warriors, is a man by the name of Stephen Curry. If you don't know who Steph Curry is, imagine a guy that can shoot from anywhere and you believe that he's going to make it every single time. Anytime he releases the ball, everybody assumes it's going in. There's a video on YouTube circulating of how to properly defend against Steph Curry. It starts from the moment he gets out of bed. Steph Curry puts his feet on the floor and the defender is there, believing that Steph Curry can shoot from his bedroom and make it on the court. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. Believer. He is a man of prayer. He's a man of faith. And he's an incredible, I mean, I'm not a fan, but I can respect him. Not a fan. But you gotta give your respect. And I'm thinking, like, this guy shoots from anywhere and makes it. He won the championship. He won most valuable player. But for every one shot that he makes on the camera, how many more shots did he have to make behind the scenes? For every game that he won, how many more times, how many more hours did he have to put in behind the scenes in order to make it through? And this is what Steph Curry says. He says, I try to make it look easy, but the behind the scenes stuff is the challenge. I try to make it look easy, but the behind-the-scenes stuff is the challenge. What happens behind the scenes is the most important ingredient in the process of who you are becoming. It's what you do off the camera. It's what you do when no one is watching you. It's what you do in the secrecy and the privacy of your home, that is the most important ingredient in the person that you are becoming. I asked someone the other day, do you like who you're becoming? Because we're all becoming someone. We're all becoming something. And I would say that this, what we do here this morning, is a small drop in the bucket of who you become. The biggest things that happen to you are not because of what happens here, but what is happening outside of here. What happens behind the scenes in your life is the most important ingredient in the process of who you are becoming. If you don't believe me, believe the NBA champion, Western Conference MVP, Finals MVP, greatest shooter of all time, I try to make it look easy. On the cameras, the guy shoots from anywhere and makes it. But for every one shot that he makes that gets him a win, how many more did he have to take when no one was on the court, when no one applauded him, when no one saw him, when no one else was working out with him? He was lifting, he was shooting, he was putting in the work so that when he steps onto the court, he reaps the rewards of the work that he put in behind the scenes. The most important ingredient to who you are becoming is not what is seen by others. It is what is happening behind the scenes of your life. I don't care who you are here. Who are you at home? Jesus from the mountains, are you doing that in your room? Jesus over bed, da 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 da. But how do you talk to your kids? Jesus over banner, I speak the holy name, but you didn't treat that waitress right. Speak Jesus over na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But why are you holding on to an unforgiving spirit? Because it's not what we sing here that counts. What are you doing when no one's watching? That's who you're becoming. That is what determines what happens when people actually see you and the pressure is high. You know, when I was watching these guys on the NBA Finals, I'm like, I'm not built for that kind of pressure. I can barely handle a Sunday morning. Can you imagine the pressure of not only the stadium that they're in, but the eyes of the world are turned toward them? But then I thought, but they've trained for this. They've trained for this. They've put in the hours when no one else was watching so that when the lights are on and the cameras are rolling, they can do what they do best, because behind the scenes, they kept the same energy. Right? They kept it 100. They kept it the same way in private and in public. And so this whole thing just blew my mind, because in the text that we read this morning, Jesus lays out two spiritual disciplines that are to be primarily practiced behind the scenes. These aren't spiritual disciplines to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be applauded for. These are things that we do behind the scenes that then reveal who we are when we are seen by others. And the first spiritual discipline I want to talk to you about this morning is the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. The Celebration of Discipline puts it this way. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Do you know what perpetual means? Perpetual is continual, ongoing communion with the Father. It is easy for us to say that we believe in prayer, but prayer life is not what is seen or heard by others. 99% of your prayer life should never be heard by anyone else on planet Earth. Prayer is an inward spiritual discipline. The author of this book also says this, for the heroes of the faith, prayer wasn't a little habit tacked onto the periphery of their life. Prayer was their life. It was the most serious work of their most productive years. When we think of the power of prayer, we need to begin thinking bigger and bolder and more private than what we are accustomed to. We're a praying church, amen? We're a praying church. We believe in the power of prayer. But church, the people we are becoming publicly is determined by the prayer life that we have privately. The person you are becoming publicly is being shaped by the prayer life you have privately. And so there's a couple of principles that I just want to share with you this morning. Are you with me so far on this? I pray that this helps your life, but I want to just share a few principles here, and you can write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, to pray is to change. To pray is to change. You know, there's a common phrase in church lingo that goes like this: prayer changes things. Right? Prayer changes things. When I say to pray is to change, I don't mean that prayer changes things. To pray is to change means that prayer changes me. When we pray, it changes us. It transforms our passions and conforms our will to the will of God. Prayer is never to manipulate God into doing what we want him to do, answer according to our knowledge of his perfect plan, but to pray is to change means that we are surrendering under the lordship of his will and his way. It is to be transformed, to have transformed passions and a conformed will to the will of God. Can you say amen to that? Prayer does not only change things, prayer changes me. I'm the one that needs to be changed. God is unchangeable. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we pray, what we are developing is the mind of Christ. To love what God loves. To hate what God hates. To be passionate about what God is passionate about. To serve as Christ serves. To give as Christ gave. When we pray, we are not giving God a laundry list of what we expect him to do and by when. You're not God's boss. When we pray that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I say to pray is to change, I mean this: the more you pray, the more you change. No doubt about it, right? The more you pray, the more different you become. The more you pray, the more joyful you become. The more you pray, the more peaceful you become. The more you pray, the more patient you become. The more you pray, the more generous you become. The more you pray, the more the mind of Christ has a foothold and a stronghold in your life. We accomplish nothing apart from the power of prayer. You want to be a believer? You got to pray. You want to have kingdom influence? You've got to pray. You want to have authority over every demonic attack and influence over your life and your home? You got to pray. Don't just pray here. Pray there, where no one is seeing you, where no one applauds you. If I want to preach, I got to preach to myself before I ever preach up on this platform, because who we are publicly is only revealing what happened privately. Public meltdowns are a sign of private meltdowns. Public strength is a symbol of private strength that we got from God. Public peace is a symbol that we have deep wells of peace privately. You want to see people that navigate tragedy well publicly? It's not because they're disconnected. They know their well runs deep in private. Who you are publicly, your true self, will be revealed under fire. When the lights are on and the cameras are running, what happens? It reveals what happened behind the scenes. That's what it does. People were getting on Jason Tatum for choking in the finals. Said he wasn't ready for the moment. He wasn't prepared for the moment. The kid's 24. Making millions of dollars to shoot a ball, right? Crazy. But when the moment is ripe for pressure, it reveals, were you ready? Were you ready? Steph Curry was ready. Your boy shot from anywhere. Church, do you want to be ready when the moment comes? You better put in the time before the pressure is on. Pray before the battle starts. Pray before the battle starts. Because when you start praying, once the battle starts, you're not equipped. I know the name of Jesus is powerful at any moment, But as a mature, deeply rooted follower of Christ, we pray before things happen. So that when things happen, we are ready to throw hands. Don't be caught off guard by tests. Because when you pray, and you pray in all things, at all times, you are ready for whatever goes down. Demon over here, fine, let's rebuke it. Illness over here, let's anoint it. Kids acting up, let's rebuke them, right? You are ready in season and out of season. You're praying for your marriage before you have marital problems. Before you marry. You're praying for your finances before you're broke. To pray is to change. We all need to change. I need to change. I need to get better. I need to become a better man. I need to become a better husband. I need to be a good father. I need to be a better pastor. I need to be a better leader. I need to change. I am not in a position of having achieved or attained anything. If you don't believe me, believe Paul. Not that I have obtained all this, but I press on for the prize. And I will not change by any other means than through the power of prayer. Because the person I am becoming is revealed by the person that I am privately. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We are a praying church, and I am calling on you to have a prayer life. Not to pray the two words before the meal that's not even healthy that you're asking God to bless. I am asking you to pray in all seasons, right? God, bless this McDonald's to the nourishment of my body. I'm like, God's like, nah, I can't even do that. Like, I'm a God of miracles, but I can't transform that. Right? God bless these chicken nuggets and make them actually chicken. God's like, I can turn water into wine, but I can't make that chicken. I'm sorry. There is just something that God does with Christians that pray. My grandpa was a minister all his life, a pastor all his life. And he's retired, but the man has a ministry of prayer that lasts for the duration of his morning every single day. And the man has probably prayed for you this week. And if he sees you today, he'll probably tell you, I prayed for you this week. And if he doesn't know your name, he will picture your face with that mask on that you have and say, Lord, you know, bless them. I know that he is a praying man. And so as I stand here this morning, I stand here not in the authority of prayers I have prayed. I am standing on the authority of prayers that were prayed in secret before I was ever called into the ministry. I am standing in the fruit of what was planted privately. I need somebody to give God praise for that. I'm here because you prayed before I ever was your grandson. That's how prayer works. God is a generational God. Prayers that you pray today may come to pass 5 generations from now, but that will not stop me from praying today. To pray is to change. You got to get better. You need to be stronger. You need to be a better man of God and a better woman of God. And you're like, yeah, Pastor Shane, I speak Jesus. No, pray. Pray. Prayer is learned. Prayer is learned. You're like, what do you mean, Pastor Shane? We can just pray. The disciples prayed, but then they're like, Jesus, we want to learn one thing. Teach us how to pray. Prayer is learned, but prayer is simple at the same time. It's conversational. It's you and God. And you say, God, I want to know you. And when you want to know God, God reveals himself to those who seek him. Do you believe that this morning? Prayer is learned, yet prayer is simple. Prayer is at all times for all things. At all times for all things. And the purpose of prayer, I'm going to tell you this morning. The purpose of prayer is never for answers. The purpose of prayer is for relationship. Because answers come from relationship. When I want God more than I want what God can do, I will end up living in the abundance of what God can do because I first sought him. I seek who God is, not what God does. And when I seek who he is, I live in the reality of what he does. But I seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. The purpose of prayer is not to get something from God. It is to have a relationship with God. Can you say amen? Amen. So the person you're becoming publicly is revealed by your spiritual disciplines privately. And the second discipline I want to share with you this morning is the spiritual discipline of fasting. Come on, how many of you love fasting? I want to give you a definition so we understand what we're talking about. Fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that is in itself good, like food, in order to intensify our expression of need for something greater, namely God and his work in our lives. It's a temporary renunciation, to temporarily deny something that is good, but it's in order to intensify our expression, our desire for something greater, that is God and his work in our lives. A couple of principles of fasting. Fasting is not a biblical command, but it is a biblical opportunity. There is not a commandment in the Bible that demands that we must fast once a week or that we must fast at a certain period of the Christian year. No, it's not a command like the Ten Commandments, but fasting is part of our faith. Fasting is a Christian spiritual discipline. Although it's not a biblical command, it is a biblical opportunity. Fasting is a gift that God gives us to avail ourselves of it so that we may deepen our relationship with him. Fasting is an opportunity. Christian fasting is centered on building a relationship with God, and fasting is all about denying the flesh to feed the spirit. It's about denying the flesh to feed the spirit. I always heard kind of some weird definitions of fasting, like, oh, we're going to fast food so that we take the time that we would be eating to pray. And I'm like, that's not really it. You're eating that much that you need, it's taking up that many segments of time of your day that if you stop eating, there's that much more time. No, it's not about time. Fasting is about denial of what is most comfortable and desirable to you. Throughout the scriptures, anytime they talk about fasting, most of the time, like 90% of the time, it's about food. Because food is something that we love. Can somebody in the house of the Lord say amen? In the time that I've been preaching, half of y'all have thought about lunch, the other half have thought about the ice cream truck. Celebration of discipline revealed something so mind-blowing to me. What do we call the mood we get in when we're hungry? Hangry. Richard Foster says this: fasting reveals what controls you. The emotions that come out when you're hungry are the things that you have suppressed with food. It's not hangry. It's a spirit of anger that is revealed when you have not satiated your flesh with the thing it desires the most. I know. Can I be honest with you, church? In preparation for this morning, a sermon on fasting, I said, God, I can't preach on fasting without fasting. So I fasted a day this week, and I'm not sharing this to be a public thing. I'm sharing this out of, and suffice it to say that the day that I was fasting and my wife came home from work, we didn't have a fight, but I also wasn't sweet. Putting it nicely and momly, I appreciate you. I wasn't giving her the care, the attention, or the respect that she was worthy of. And she's like, why don't you eat? Because I hadn't even told her. I hadn't told her that I was fasting. My fasting revealed my flesh. My fasting revealed my flesh. And I could say, it's just because I'm hungry. No, it's because I have denied my flesh today. And it is revealing the sin that is still in my flesh, that I have satiated with food. I have dampered it with food. So stop creating excuses for the works of the flesh. Fasting reveals the things that we need to work the most on and brings us into communion with God. Starve the flesh.
Kill it.
Reveal the sin. Commune with God and be healed in Jesus' name. So fasting is not so much about I replaced this time with this time. It's about what have you sacrificed that reveals the thing that controls you. How do you feel when you logged off social media? It reveals that which controls you. Anxious. There's things that just happen that come out when we deny the flesh. And reveals what God is able to do in us. And those things only come out when you deny the flesh. Right? We got to fast more. Let me share a couple more things with you because we got to get going. Fasting is feasting. Fasting is feasting. Like, Pastor Shane, what are you talking about? You're talking about stopping. Like, I'm about to not eat for the rest of the week just because I want all my sin to come out. And you're over here talking about it's feasting. Yes, it's denial of the flesh in order that we may feast on what truly sustains us. Scripture says this, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you know you will survive if you fast a day? You won't die. Did you know that it's painful, but it reveals things about you? And did you know that we can do replacement of that which sustains us? Yes, I can try to damper my feelings, my thoughts, my emotions, my sin, even with food. But if I fast all of that and deny the flesh and feast on what truly sustains, the word of God, prayer, meditation, the presence of God, I will be sustained in that moment. Just as Christ was sustained in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he was sustained by the word of God. And at the end of that period, the angels of God attended to Christ in that moment of severe physical weakness. And I dare say to the church, the angels of God will attend to you in your physical weakness and provide you the sustenance that you need in the spiritual realm. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can you say amen to that? But I need to share this with you because this was like it for me. Fasting can bring breakthroughs in the spiritual realm that will never happen any other way. Fasting will bring breakthroughs in your spiritual life and in the spiritual realm that is never going to happen just by you attending church. Are you hearing me? Mom, fast. Husband, fast. Young lady, young man, fast. Fast and fast, fast. Because we need breakthrough in the spiritual realm. Our battle, church, is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against our spouse. Our battle is not against that person sitting across the sanctuary from you that you came in through an opposite door from. Our battle is against spiritual forces in heavenly realms. And there are some things. Jesus said this, there are some demons that only come out through fasting and prayer. Did he not say that? Am I only quoting my Bible? Do you see it in yours? He's like, this type? Yeah, that doesn't come out through a church service. That comes out by you fasting and praying and battling and warring. There are some kids that you have to rescue from the pits of hell by fasting on their behalf. There are some marriages that will not be saved unless somebody in that household decides to drop to their knees, fast for God's hand upon that home, and declare the light and the love of Christ over that family. I believe it. And you're like, Pastor Shane, you're a little bit of a fanatic. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because I know that the spiritual realm is real. Eu sei que o inimigo está solto. I know that the enemy is out for our kids and our life and our joy and our career and our stability and our family and our legacy. And I am going to stand in the gap between his attack and God's promise and declare, not today, Satan. Can somebody stand up and give God a praise? There are some things that are only going to happen if you decide to really be about it. There are breakthroughs in the church that are only going to happen when more than just the pastor believes for the move of God. You got to drop to your knees and pray for this community. Drop to your knees and pray for breakthrough. Drop to your knees and believe God for revival in Pawtucket. Consecrate yourself to God. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Watch what God will do. Fasting brings breakthrough that will never happen any other way. But what does Jesus have to say about this? Practice these disciplines behind the scenes. Don't pray like the hypocrites who want to be seen by others and applauded for their spirituality. Don't fast to receive pity from anyone. You are not a victim. We fast and we pray that God would see us and hear us and answer our prayer. Who you are in public is shaped by what you do in private. When Steph Curry gets out of bed, they say you gotta start guarding him because he can shoot from anywhere, because he has practiced so much that he has perfected his craft. I want the enemy, when I set my foot on the floor of my bedroom this morning, this man of God. And I can shoot from anywhere. You can't defend me. You can't defend me because I put in my time. You can't guard my shot. I put in the time. Behind the scenes, that the enemy himself knows that from the moment I rise, I'm a threat. I'm a threat. I'm a threat. Steph Curry, thank you. I try to make it look easy, but with the behind the scenes stuff is the challenge. Fasting and prayer should not come easy. It's a challenge. But when you dedicate yourself to it, the person that you will become is exactly who God has called you to be. Could you stand with me this morning?